That was an amazing moment that we are hearing of in our gospel reading today, that moment on the banks of the Jordan River when the sky opened up and God's love descended upon Jesus. In the symbolism of the clouds parting and the heavens opening up, the distance and the obstacles that separate humanity from God were removed. In the symbolism of the dove descending, the Holy Spirit moved and flew between heaven and earth, between the realm of God and the world of humanity. And in that amazing and eternal moment, the divine and the human were made one in Jesus Christ, which is really, really important for you and I as fellow human beings. And now I want to get into something that's really, really complicated. It's kind of a theological basis of Christianity, but it's really complicated. So kind of take a moment and center yourselves. So this is the complicated theology in today's reading from the gospel. Humanity was restored through God's love for us. Simple, maybe not so complicated. Just checking to see if you're awake and still with me this morning. Today is about God's love for us. It's not complicated. It's very simple. So I want to ask you, you know, we are hearing of the baptism of Jesus this morning. This is called Baptism Sunday. So I want to ask you a little bit, when we talk a lot about baptism as Christians, so I want to do kind of an impromptu survey this morning and ask you some questions about baptism and see what our conversation will sound like. So what do you think baptism is? What is baptism? And just call out to me. Let me know what you think baptism is. What is baptism? What do you think? Jean, you're chuckling. Acceptance into the body of Christ. That's right. Richard? It restores us. It does. It restores us. Anybody else have any ideas about what is baptism? Why is it the core of our faith? I can see I have my work cut out for me. Why do we do it? Why do we practice baptism? You know, when families come in and they want a loved one to be baptized, we sit down and we have classes. And we talk about baptism, we talk about the service, we ask questions of the godparents, we have commitments that are made on behalf of the godparents. Why do we do something that's so complicated for baptism? What's the point of having it be so complicated? Why are we baptized? Yes, Mary.
I feel it's our formal acceptance into the family
of God. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's right. Yep. Yeah. Keith just said, bam. So good for you, Mary. It is for those very reasons that baptism is integral to our life of faith. You know, we are welcomed, we are made one with God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So I want to listen in again at that still speaking voice of God there on the banks of the River Jordan. When God says to Jesus, "You are my own dear son, and I am pleased with you." And in other translations, we have heard, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." Can you hear the pride and the love of God, in God's voice for Jesus? In you, I am well pleased. In you, I find completion. You know, I am proud of you. And I wonder, can you hear God's love made real in that moment? You know, when the clouds parted and the sky opened and the dove descended, that was God's love made real for his son Jesus, which is our first clue about baptism. Baptism is about our identity. It's about who we are as believers. It teaches us that we are God's beloved sons and daughters, always and forever loved by God. No matter what, we are loved by God. And it's really important for us to remember this, especially in the fast-changing world in which we live, when we need to change jobs or careers just to have money coming in, when we are no longer simply identified by our profession or what we do, when we move away from the community in which we grew up, looking for work, going away to school, or perhaps we've signed up in the military, families are increasingly scattered. We are no longer identified by our family name or where we grew up. You know, I can remember having people ask, well, you know, I grew up in Port Huron, so were you in the north side of Port Huron or the south side of Port Huron? What is your family name? And, oh, I knew the Ellises. Are you related? And so that was a sense of self in place. And it informed all of my relationships and my family's relationships because people knew us based on that. That's no longer the case. We are so diverse and so spread out that we no longer have that sense of connection to the place in which we were born. So I was wondering this morning when I was looking at research for this sermon, it struck me that I wonder how many of us are just trying to figure out who we are. Who am I? If I'm not from the Ellis clan, and if I'm not from the north or the south side of town, who am I? So I put it in my Google search engine, and I typed in the phrase, who am I? And I had over 25 million hits. 25 million ways of finding out who we are. Who am I? There were self-assessment quizzes, which were really tempting to take, I have to say. Song lyrics, movies, book titles, magazine articles, meditation, prayer, quotes, games, riddles. We crave and need to know the answer. And we look the world over trying to find out who we are. Well, let me help you narrow that 25 million Google hits when you do your search. You are simply the beloved sons and daughters of God. That is who you are in your very basic core. You are beloved. You have been marked in your baptism and sent to share God's love with the world. Now, I overheard the choir doing the practice this morning, and they are singing a song in their anthem called Here I Am. And it's some of the lines in the anthem they are singing is, Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. It's a lovely anthem, and I cry every time I sing it, so we'll see how it goes today when y'all are singing that anthem. Just as God said these words of love to Jesus during his baptism, God says the same words to us. You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased. And these baptisms that we sometimes witness when we have baptisms here in church, they remind us that not only is the newly baptized beloved, but we too are beloved. We belong to the family of God, and baptism is the outward sign of an inward manifestation by which we are known forever and for always. So baptism is an external sign. You know, when I pour the water over the forehead or I make the sign of the cross in the blessed oil, that's an outward mark of an inward change. So we become brothers and sisters and sons and daughters with Jesus of God. And I have to say, who among us doesn't need to be reminded that we are loved, that we are beloved? So that takes me to the second clue about what baptism is. All Christian traditions, regardless of denomination, emphasize that baptism is God's work, not our work. We are not justified by our actions, as St. Paul says. God's grace comes down upon us in that moment. It doesn't matter if we're deserving or undeserving. These life choices that we make, that's not what our baptism is based upon. It's God's action in our lives. So I want to ask you a question. Did you notice in that moment there on the banks of the River Jordan that John the Baptist didn't actually baptize Jesus? John the Baptist isn't the one doing the baptism there in the River Jordan. God is the one whose spirit comes down in the form of that dove and lays This baptism upon Jesus, God's Son, it's not John the Baptist, it's God that baptizes. And that same Holy Spirit baptizes you and me. David Luce, the preaching chair at Luther Seminary, says it beautifully. Baptism, then, is wholly God's work that we may have confidence that no matter how often we fall short or fail, nothing that we do or fail to do can remove the identity that God conveys as a gift. Sons and daughters of God. Nothing will change that you are sons and daughters of God. Our relationship with God, that is the one relationship in life we can't screw up precisely because we did not establish it. It's not based on what we do. We are beloved. We can neglect this relationship. We can deny it, run away from it, ignore it. But we cannot destroy it, for God loves us too deeply and completely to ever let us go. Please remember, you are especially beloved when those times happen when you feel anything but lovable, when you're grumpy, or you're irritable, or you're impatient, or demanding, or forgetful of an anniversary or a birthday. It's especially in those times of our humanity that we are deeply loved. When you are lonely or lost or just plain tired of everything and everyone, when you are suffering or in sorrow, know and remember that forever and for always, you are God's beloved. And you will know when you need to remember this. You will know in your life when this is going to come back and remind you, doesn't matter what's going on in this moment, I am beloved. And if you have not been baptized, because we have some members who've not been baptized, I've done some adult baptism since coming to St. Michael's. Call me, text me, pop into my office, stop me at Costco, at the grocery store, and let's talk about what baptism into our community means and what it's all about, because it is about connection into community. As a community of Christians, we are called and sent to remind someone else that they too are the beloved daughter and son of God. We reflect God's love into the world. In the latest issue of Congregations, author Herbert Anderson describes reflecting love like this. When we talk about the good news, we are being invited to love one another as generously as we have been loved by God. The biblical story is an account of God's relentless pursuit out of love despite the human resistance to being loved. It's what we want, yet we find ourselves resisting this belovedness. The good news we proclaim imperfectly is God's extraordinary love, always creating and covenanting, always redeeming and reconciling, always seeking and holding. And in response to that abiding and generous love of God, we are asked to embody the passion of God who broods over humankind like a jealous lover longing for connection. God longs for a connection with us. So you may have noticed this bowl of blessed water here on the baptismal font when you came into the sanctuary this morning. This water has been blessed in the same way that I bless the waters of baptism whenever we do a baptism. And when you come forward for communion this morning, and as you walk by the bowl of blessed water, dip your fingers into the blessed water and either touch your forehead or place your hand over your heart and say the following. I have been marked as God's beloved, sent to share God's love to the world. I have been marked as God's beloved, sent to share God's love to the world. That is just one example of a connection between the hour or so that we spend together on Sunday and the other 167 hours that separate us during the week. During those 167 hours when we are not worshiping, may you be reminded of your baptism and of your belovedness whenever you touch water. Whenever you touch water, may you be reminded that God's Spirit moved over the waters of the deep. When you're washing your hands or brushing your teeth or taking a bath or taking a shower, say to yourself, I have been marked as God's beloved, sent to share God's love with the world. May God open your hearts to the reality and truth of your being loved. And in the words of our baptismal rite, may God fill you with holy, life-giving spirit. May God teach you to love others in return. And may all God's people say,